have all of our special singers. I say I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news, I've been blessed just, I mean, all over this morning. Let me tell you something else. This morning I got up and got blessed. I turned on Happy Goodman. And I like to have a spell at the house. Me and Vestal Goodman and the Lord, I tell you, we had a great, glorious time. That's the good news. The bad news is, when I get blessed, I preach longer.
We got all day.
There wasn't an amen in the house. But it has been a blessing. I want to say thank you how blessed we are here at Calvary. Turn with me this morning in God's Word, if you will please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. There's so many passages we could have chosen, but you'll see in a moment why we've chosen this one. Last Sunday, we began a brief series on Is God Speaking? Can we hear from God? Last Sunday, the message was entitled Hearing from God. What God, is God still speaking? If you were here, you remember it said that God speaks through His Word, first of all. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through godly advisors and counselors. He speaks through circumstances in life. God speaks through His heart. Now, be careful if you hear someone saying that they've heard from God, and then they say, for a small offering, if you'll be able to say, well, good thing what that word of God is. Beware today. You won't hear that from your pastor. But I'm grateful that we can have a word from God. For 400 years, from Malachi to Matthew, there was no prophet in the word from God. The heavens were silent because it was that intertestamental period where there just was no voice from God, no revival, no movement of God. And just a while ago, somebody told me that they had heard of another place where the revival was breaking out, in the mission to Asbury in Kentucky, and it seems like God's doing something special in our country, in our world. And I just believe that part of that is God wants His people to have a heart for Him and an ear to hear Him. Remember last week we mentioned and remind ourselves that Revelation closes, or really opens in the first three chapters, with the letter of Christ to the church. And then he says, let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. I believe God's got a word for us, and of course we can never exhaust that possible word from God. But let's look and see what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. Paul writes in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 12, and the American Standard Version says it this way, and it's very close to the King James. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It is an incredible and amazing thing when you begin to discover who we are in Christ. You see, you may not have known it theologically, but the moment you gave your life to the Lord, whether you were a child or an adult, whether it was years ago or recently, a heavenly transaction took place that you may or may not have really been fully aware of. The Holy Spirit of God came to dwell within your heart and life as a brand new believer. And He'll be there until Jesus calls you home or comes for us in glory. You became an heir of God and a joint heir of Christ. You and I became partakers of the heavenly blessings God showered out upon His people. And I would tell you, folks, there are no paupers in the kingdom of God spiritually, because we are children of the living God. We are heirs of God, and all the blessings we have are freely given to us by God in Christ. The Greek word for know is an interesting word, oida, and it means fullness of knowledge. And the implication is God wants us to know what our blessings are, and a part of that is getting a word from God. Lord, what do you want me to hear What do you want me to understand? What do you want me to respond to? And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Hearing from God, what God wants you to know. Now, you already understand that a subject like that is so broad that we could be here a long time talking about what God wants us to know. But we've chosen just a few of the tips of the iceberg, truths that will hopefully whet our appetites to discover more about hearing from God, listening to God, and discovering what God's will is. God wants us to know certain truths. And I've listed those there in your worship guide this morning. And I hope that you'll follow along with me. God wants us, first of all, to know the truth about Him. God. And by the way, we don't serve a weak God. We don't serve a God whose mood changes with the winds. We don't serve a God that is untouched with the feelings of our emotions. We serve the King of Glory, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We serve the one who is the great I Am, the first and the last, and the one who is the calmer of the storm and the raiser of the dead and the healer of the lame and the blind. And Jesus was His name. And folks, when we get an idea about the greatness of the God that we serve, it'll be transforming in our own lives. We'll discover God's nature. By the way, if you want to know how God wants us to live, we are created in the image of God. Think about this. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. God wants us to be overcomers in this world through the power of the Holy Spirit. We serve a God who is omniscient. He knows all there is to know because He created it all. And God wants us to enter into the knowledge and the understanding of who we are in Christ. I want to tell you, a wonderful study is a study that will help us to understand what the Holy Spirit seeks to do in the life of the believer. One of those things is He seeks to transform us more into the image of God in Christ. He wants to know the truth about Him. Philippians prayer, Paul's prayer in Philippians 3 was that we might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. And if by any means we might be made conformable to His death. Paul said, I got to know Him on the Damascus Road. That wasn't the end. That was just the beginning. I like that song. Now, I'm from Lacey Springs, so I might could have remembered this way. He just keeps getting gooder and gooder every day. Now, that's not good grammar, but it sure is good theology. It's the sweeter time goes, the sweeter He grows. God wants us to know His nature. When we understand His nature, we'll want to be like Him. Now listen, you can't be like Him in your flesh just by working hard, grunting, groaning, trying, straining, doing good works, all of which are fine. You learn to be like Christ by allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, to control us, to transform us, to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. God wants us to know about Him, His nature, His power. He's an all-powerful God, omnipotent. He spoke in the world and all that is a part of the universes that exist. God spoke into existence. And He wants us to know His will. God created us for a relationship with Him. And every time we come to church, we all have a prayer in our hearts. Says, Lord, teach me something about You today. Lord, help me learn something about Your will for my life and my walk and my witness. Nothing God wants more than to meet us where we are and transform us into the image of God in Christ. Is there a word from God? There is. God wants us to know the truth about Him. He wants us to know the truth about ourselves. Now, we would say, well, Brother Jackie, that's an easy one there. I know me pretty well. Well, ask your spouse if he knows you pretty well. Because sometimes they might say, well, he doesn't know himself as well as he thinks he does, or vice versa. Sometimes, I've never seen any ugly people. I mean, showed up ugly. Some have come close. But she said, I don't know why y'all look at each other. There's nobody here. But the truth is, to us, nobody here is ugly. Nobody out there is ugly. We are beautiful and created in the image of God. And God emptied heaven to meet us where we are, like we are, and transform us into what He wants us to be. He wants us to know about His passionate love for us. Who doesn't know John 3:16?
For God so loved the world that you can know that you and I are in that world. God loves you no matter what you've done, where you've been, how you've messed up. Anybody here ever messed up?
Yeah.
We can take a while to share testimonies, couldn't we? But the truth is, God knew that when He saved us. God knew that when He sent His Son to the cross. God's speaking, and He wants us to know about His passionate love for us and His plan for us. God, by the way, God saved us to deliver us from hell. But a whole lot more than just that. God didn't just save us to deliver us from hell. He saved us to get heaven into us down here and us into heaven eventually and make us more like Jesus along the way. You see, God's got a word for us because He wants to discover His passionate love for us, His perfect plan for us, and He wants us to know what we've already referred to. Our position and our privileges in Christ. By the way, not too long ago, we talked a little bit about the movement in some parts of the Southern Baptist Convention, and probably beyond that, to other denominations as well, that focuses a little bit more on Calvinism than sometimes I feel like we should be focusing. But the truth is, if you want to know about predestination, in fact, we were talking to somebody the other day, and they said, I'm not sure I know what you mean, this Calvinism. Is that dealing with predestination and election? And if you can explain predestination and election, would you stay at the church today for a while and help me understand that? Because my mind's not big enough to comprehend. Listen, God chose everybody who put their faith in Christ to be saved. We are the elect in Christ. God does not condemn folks to hell without giving them an opportunity to be saved. People go to hell because they turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's not the will of the Father that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So is God speaking? He certainly is. Because He wants us to know our privilege and our position in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation in Romans 8:1 to them which are in Christ. He wants us to know who we are. I'm a child of the King. I'm a royal blue blood. Now, there ain't no rich people in my family. I don't even have any wealthy relatives that are out there. I used to. They're not with us anymore. The truth is, what I'm saying is, I'm from a little country, a little county, a little place, and nobody but just a few people know where Lacey Spring, Alabama is. Hey, but that's all right. God raised me up there and planted the seed of the gospel in my heart. And there, pushing me out of the cradle and pushing me out of the world, said, Jackie, go share the gospel. And I will tell you, I'm grateful. But in a little country church and a little community that nobody knows about, God planted a little gray-haired Sunday student teacher and a wise deacon to invest their lives with a pastor who took me under his wing and loved me and taught me that I was somebody in Christ. I'm a child of the King, an heir to the throne, and all by the grace of God. God's still speaking, you bet He is, because He wants us to know our position and privileges in Christ. But it's not enough just to know who we are in Christ. And by the way, that's an ongoing discovery. There's nobody here who has arrived. You know all there is to know about who we are in Christ and what Christ wants you to be. And that's a revelation that unfolds day by day in life. But don't forget, God saved us for a purpose. Because He wants us to understand something about others. And sometimes we forget. What does he want us to understand about others? Well, I've listed some things here for us to consider for a moment. First of all, God wants us to understand the depravity and the lostness of men and women, boys and girls, without Christ. The depravity, the lostness of boys and girls, men and women, without Christ, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. To be lost means to be within one breath, one heartbeat, one moment, away from eternity without God. To be lost means to be spiritually blind. You know, you could be here today and you could give blood to the Red Cross and money to the PTA and vote in every election and be decent and moral and all those good things that can be said and still be as lost as anybody in the whole world. If you've never confessed your sin and confessed your need of the Savior and invited Christ in repentance and faith to become your Lord and Savior, to be lost is to be... Now, you're not going to be judged. Judgment is coming. I'm not saying you'll avoid judgment, but you are already in a state of condemnation because you've not already believed in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so there's an urgency. And those of us who are saved have got the greatest message in the world. Throw out the lifeline because people are sinking all around us. What does he want us to know? What's he trying to say to us? Church, I want you to know depravity and lostness of man. But out there, lots of folks who have struggles and they're marked by the depravity of man, that sin scar that scar all of us. This week, God most likely will lead you to accidentally cross paths with more lost people than I may preach to on any given Sunday or any given number of Sundays. God will lead you into somebody's path. And if you're open, I like what Jack said about the tracts, give out tracts, and share with somebody, can I tell you the best thing that ever happened to me? Or to find an opportunity that God can use you to share. The best message you can share is what God's done for you. And what the gospel is, yeah, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The depravity and lostness. God wants us to understand that. He also wants us to understand people's struggles and their desires. Like the woman at the well who said, "Sir, give me this water for I thirst." God's going to lead your path and mine to cross with somebody soon who's hurting, who needs a word from God, and they need to hear it from you. They need to know there's a destiny or a sentence. The wages of sin is death. The Bible speaks of being condemned. If you haven't believed in the Lord Jesus, it is a frightening thing to think about someone spending an eternity away from God. You've heard me mention before. I don't like to preach on hell. I don't preach often on hell. Probably don't preach enough. My pastors did when I was growing up. They didn't shy away from it. I don't even want to shy away from truth. But the truth is, we need not to forget. There's a heaven for the redeemed, but there's a hell for the unredeemed. Because you see, nothing can wash away my sin but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can make me whole again but His blood. God wants us to know about others. And then God wants us to know the transforming power of truth. We mentioned this in reference to the moment ago, Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God's predestination is not only in choosing those who choose Christ, but also His predestination is us being predestined to become more like Jesus. That's God's goal. That's what God's heart is for you and me. That along the way to glory, God gets a little bit of heaven, a lot of heaven into us and transforms us. He wants us to know the transforming power of the gospel of deliverance. God can set you free. I met a man this week who has a ministry, and we may try to get him here sometime to speak to our men. And it's a ministry because God, I knew this young man when he was a teenager, and he got a great testimony how God delivered him from drugs. God delivered him from a prison term when he was in jail. And now he's got a ministry where he goes through prisons and shares the gospel. And people are saved all the left and right. Because here's a man who was transformed by the power of the gospel. Jesus can do that for somebody who's done drugs, somebody who's been in jail, somebody who's gone down the wrong road. He can do it for your loved one and your friends. God wants you to know his transforming power of deliverance and transforming power to change people. If any man be in Christ, he or she's a new creature. Oh my. There's nothing like the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, it changes us from glory to glory to glory. And like I said earlier, this gets good and good and good. It's better and better and better. And if you want life to be changed, give your life to the one that has the power to do it. His name is Jesus. The transforming power to be changed, the transforming power of deliverance, and then the transforming power to do God's will. I can do all things, said Paul, through Christ. All things. Not because I'm an intelligent man. And he was a Pharisee. He was a brilliant man. He was a scholar in the Old Testament. But he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. God transformed Paul, continued to transform him all of his life and ministry. That leads me to share this one final thought this morning. Is God still speaking? What is it that God wants me to know? God wants us to know that we, you and I, are responsible for sharing the greatest news in the whole world. The gospel. We don't talk much about that, about our responsibility. And one of these days we'll stand before the Lord and give an account of how we share the gospel. I love to talk about sports. We often talk about the weather. Those things are fine, good, and well. We ought to seek an opportunity to have a good word for Jesus somewhere in the testimony and be a witness for him. We're to share the truth personally. We're to share the truth practically. By the way, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. In fact, let me give you these three little points. Just a nugget. If you want to be an effective witness and learn to share the gospel briefly, tell somebody what your life was like before you met Jesus. Briefly. Tell somebody when and how you met Jesus. And tell somebody how your life has changed since you met Jesus. You do that in a little while if you practice on it. And God might use that more than you ever know to transform somebody's life. We're to share the truth personally. We're to share the truth practically. People don't like to be preached to. But they sure do like a word of hope. And they might see how your life is a testimony. When people see you, especially those who know you well and know the difference Jesus has made, you make them hungry to know the same Christ. And we're to share the truth passionately. Passionately. I'll tell you this final story. There's a young man in our church who lays his friends. Bethlehem Baptist Church, and our pastor went to see this man because he had just gotten out of prison. And his brother, the man's brother, was a deacon in our church. And our pastor went to see this old boy, and the old boy was saved. I mean saved. And he when I tell you he was saved, he got a double dose of it. I mean, just the Lord got all over him. In fact, he got fired from his job because he's on a construction job and he wouldn't quit witnessing to his workers. His boss fired him. That's all right. God got him another job.
Yeah,
that's right. I want to tell you what that man was, a flame of fire for the Lord Jesus. Billy McVeigh. And when Billy McVeigh entered the room, he was on the hunt for somebody who might not know Jesus. And I thought, Lord, only you could turn somebody with a life like he into a radiant witness for Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
We'd share the truth passionately. How does God want you to respond to what you already know and for his will for your life? Maybe
Somebody here this morning needs to say, Lord, make me more sensitive to opportunities to share the gospel. Is God still speaking?
You bet He is. And sometimes He speaks through you to somebody who's lost. Some things God wants us to know about who He is, who we are, and who they are, and how desperately they need a word of witness and hope from us. Best time. Lord, we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth. Wonder how He could love us sinners condemned unclean. And we sing with the choir, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is your great love. This morning, Lord, if there's anybody here who's not yet given his or her heart to Jesus, who's never repented, turned away from sin, and by faith asked Jesus to come into their hearts and lives and surrender their lives to live for you, love you, and serve you, may they make that decision today, here, now. Lord, maybe there's some of us saved who just have lost our compassion for those that are lost and have not given serious thought to our responsibility to be witnesses. I pray, Lord, today you'll burn into our heart a passion to see family members, loved ones, friends, neighbors, co-laborers, and workers saved because of our witness. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak to my soul, make me. Lord, you've got a word for us. Help us to respond to that word for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Would you please?
Grace is coming to share this with you. She leads our invitation here. The altar is always open for those who just want to come and do business with God. Is there any spiritual decision I can help you to pray with you about? Share with you about our precious covenant with you. You just be obedient to the Lord. The Lord will speak. What is God saying to you? Please, what is it?
There is a fountain on page 142.
Let's see. Precious, lovely young ladies, have a gift for all of you as you leave today.
And I pray that you'll have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. And have you forgotten anything? Any other word? Dennis, would you pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for the day that we've had, Lord. I thank you for all the ones that are here, Lord. I thank you especially for the ones that have come to this house, dear Lord, to hear your word, that have never been here before, first time, second time visitors, Lord. I just pray, thank you for them. And I pray that you bless them, dear Lord, and just touch their hearts. Lord, I just lift up everybody here to you this morning, dear Lord, and pray that you'll bless them through this day and bring them back safely tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.